First Peter chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 13. Verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when he be buffeted for your own faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come, be together as a family. Please that you bring us together in your spirit, bring us together in a oneness that is in agreement. Please help us, dear Lord, to look to your word, and let the Spirit teach us your word, because then we know that we will be in agreement. We thank and praise you for the word that you have given us, the word we've read today, and the word we're able to carry with us every day, open every day, study every day, and enjoy learning and growing and being closer to you, dear Lord. Now please touch every heart. Those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, please today be the day that they accept you as their Savior, that one more day does not pass, because we don't know when our days will end. And so please, please, we don't know when the calling of God will end. And so today, please accept the Savior, accept the Lord Jesus, and ask him into your heart. And please, dear Father, today, that all that are here will hear your word and be stronger and grow today and be closer to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we look at these verses of Scripture, we begin with that 13th verse, and it says, submit to every ordinance of man, the Scripture says. Submit to every ordinance of man. You know, that word submission is something that is contrary to man. We don't like to submit to another in any way, and that's many reasons why folks refuse to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because they do not want to submit to someone else, to a higher power. And the problem is that they do not realize, in that one scripture we read concerning the ignorance of foolish men, that's exactly where those people are at, because they are already submitting and operating under the rule of the devil, and so under the god of this world. And so they don't realize it, they don't know it, they think they're their own man, they can do whatever they want to do, but that's not true at all. And so for us to yield, to submit unto our Lord, is a wonderful step to take, because then for the first time will we have the opportunity of joy and of freedom and a peace that comes into our hearts that no one in this world can have. Well, also, we need not only submit to our Lord, but we also need to submit to submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. And this word ordinance it comes from an institution. In other words, it's talking about government. The government sets up rules. We're to abide by those rules. And just because we're a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, Peter is speaking to these folks here. He's trying to make it clear to them that, yes, you're free. You have been set free by the grace of God, by the power of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been set free. But we still need to abide by what is in place. And God has instituted government, because he knows that man needs the rule. He needs to have these laws and these rules. And so that's fine as long as these laws and everything that's in force is of God. But we know that many rules and many laws that are not of God. And there becomes a time then when we have a decision to make. If it is contrary to the Word of God, will we abide by the law of the land, or should we abide by the law of God? Well, we all know that when it becomes a decision to make between the law of man, government, and if it stands against the law of God, we must follow the laws of God. And so that's a clear statement. We need to do that, but there is a way to do it. The text today, the scripture today, there's many small things to learn. And I say small things, but it's probably some of the most difficult things that we have to really learn. And that's getting along with each other, getting along with our government. You know, we look at the political scene today, and the only thing that you want to do is turn the radio off, you know, turn the television off, close the newspaper. You hate to see the news and the things and the people that seem to be involved in politics today. It seems as though it's a thing of power, and the one that gets elected is the one that has the most money. And that's totally contrary to what should be. So, does that give us the okay then to not lift them up, not pray for them, not follow them? According to the Word of God, we need to follow them even if they're ungodly. If you look back through history, you'll find that there was not one Christian ruler in Peter's day. And so keep that in mind. You know, a lot of times you'll say, well, if you knew my situation, then things would be different. You know, well, God told Peter to tell his people this, the people that he was speaking to, this group, what to do. And it wasn't because they were under the rule of a Christian leader. They weren't. So if we come to the time and are under the control and rule of an ungodly man as president of this country, we still, by the Word of God, need to pray for them and lift them up and ask them for that God will lead them and God will give them strength. And if they don't pay any attention to what is right and continue, we still need to honor them in that position. Because that's what the Word of God tells us to do. Now, I'm going to give you an example. Most of you are familiar with it. There are three names that you're maybe not quite familiar with, but Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, are those three names that you're very familiar with? You've spoken about them several times. I can tell by the look on some of your faces that some of you know who I'm talking about, and some of you have no idea who I'm talking about. Well, we're talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, that makes a little more sense to you, doesn't it? Now, isn't it something? Now, David, because Belshazzar is David's name that was given to him. So we have Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We have these four young men. Well, it's something because Daniel kind of held with his name, and we still call it Daniel, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we have left his their names of origin and have moved to the names that the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, gave them, because that's where those names come from, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, We know the story and about the fiery furnace and things like that. But here we're talking about something a little bit different. We're talking about a situation. I want you to think about what happened to Daniel and to these young men. Because Jehoiakim was the king over Judah. He was kind of he was appointed by the Pharaoh of Egypt. So it was a kind of a strange situation there. Well, as all lands that are under rule of someone, they like their taxes. Well, this Jehoiakim decided he wasn't going to pay up. He was no longer going to pay attention to them. They were such a distance, and there are two ways to go. You can go through, at that time was a Syrian desert, now why we think of being the Arabian desert. And so there were two paths, one that would go kind of southward, and then back over to Babylon. Another would go up north and back down and avoid the desert. I don't know which way they went. I know most of the times Nebuchadnezzar would go north. You could tell by the reports he would go north and come back down. Wasn't anybody to defeat through the desert, so let's go up and keep rule over. One way is about 850 miles, the other is about 750 miles. Now, if you're traveling about, 25 miles a day, well, we're looking at 40 days of traveling. Well, what happened is this king decided not to do what was right for him to do and not to pay this tax. And so king of Nebuchadnezzar over in Babylon says, all right, that's enough. And, of course, we know that God's hand was in on this because of the disobedience of Israel. And so here come Nebuchadnezzar up and took the last part. You know, they had been hit several times. The northern kingdom, Israel, was already gone. Judah now was about to go. And so here comes Nebuchadnezzar, and he comes in and destroys everything and takes captive these last group. And in taking them, this young man called Daniel, and then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these four and many others. But if you go back to the book of Daniel, chapter 1, and verse 3 or verse 4, this Nebuchadnezzar looked at these men and knew that there were within the palace, the king's family, within there were special people that had much knowledge. And he was smart enough that he wasn't going to just make a slave out of these people. He was going to use them. And so he had the head of the eunuchs to pick out and bring these people forward. And when they brought them forward, well, then for three years, he fed them the king's food. He wanted them to look healthy and be well. But 3 years, can you imagine that? It wasn't a year, it wasn't 90 days, it was 3 years the king fed these men. Well, what happened was, right at the beginning, Daniel said no. Daniel said no. So you see, he's going against the king's wishes. He's going against the command. Well, this poor eunuch, he said, no, Daniel, don't do that to me, because when you come in before the king, your cheeks are going to be drawn, and it's that I didn't do my job. You only have my head. And so we need to, for me. And Daniel had made friends with this man. In a very short time, he had made friends with him. You see, he had been ripped out of his house, taken away from his family. He was taken all the way across the country and kept captive in a foreign land. And yet this man Daniel made friends with what we would call one of the enemies. But he made friends with this eunuch. And so he asked the eunuch a question. He said, give me 10 days and I will eat what the slaves eat. And I'll come back to you in 10 days, and then you decide. If I'm okay, then can I eat not your meat? Now, what was the problem with the king's meat? Was he just being defiant? No. You see, the king ate unclean animals, and Daniel couldn't. So you see, it wasn't just Dan was in a bad mood and decided he wasn't going to do it. It was against the law of God. It was against the law of God, and he refused to do that. But he refused in a kind way. He refused in a gentle way. He refused in a peaceful way. He didn't get all of his people together and cause this riot and cause all kinds of trouble. He went to the eunuch and he says, I can't do it. The eunuch says, you've got to do it. He says, no. He said, give me 10 days with food that I can eat. And it wasn't much. The others had the wine and all the meat and all the dressings, everything. And this shows you how God can sustain you. God will take care of you. And here came Daniel 10 days later. He stood before this eunuch. Daniel was heavier. His color was better. He looked better than any of the rest of them. Now, how can that be? So the eunuch says, okay. And then 3 years later, guess who was chosen? We have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and others, but these are the ones. But look how Daniel handled something that was opposing what God had said. He didn't cause a riot. He didn't cause any trouble in the government. He very carefully and prayerfully went to the one in authority and inquired that he not do this. Now, there's another time when Daniel ends up in a lion's den. Now, that result wasn't quite as good, was it? What happened to Daniel in the lion's den? God closed the mouths of those hungry lions. What happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were thrown in the fiery furnace? The furnace was heated up 7 times higher, and the people that threw them in died. They were consumed. And yet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and of course that fourth man, because of pre-incarnate Christ, Jesus was with them in that fiery furnace, and they left. And their hair wasn't singed. You know, I've blown enough things up that I've had my hair singed on my arm. My eyebrows are gone. And yet, they were in that fiery furnace and walked out. Didn't smell like smoke. Didn't no evidence whatsoever. What a God that we serve. But I thought that was a beautiful lesson for us today to learn how to speak. You know, we want to fight back. We want to get our point across. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, you're an ungodly king. You've taken me out of my land. Do you think I'm going to serve you? You could say to that eunuch, he said, what do I care about you? I'm not going to eat. But Daniel did. You see, everybody around won. God was the victor. The eunuch was fine. Nebuchadnezzar didn't know the difference. Everything was fine. There's ways, my friend. And we need to submit to the laws, to these institutions. We need to obey the laws unless they're contrary to the Word of God. And we need to take care of those differences with prayer and the will of God. And so remember those things. As we look here now again at 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto the governor. Now we're going to look here at the offices. The king would be our president. The governors, those that administer the laws and they execute justice. And according to the word of God, the position that God has put into place here, there was a purpose for it. The purpose was that the evildoers would be judged. And the good doers would be praised. And now, I'm not real sure that either case happens today. It really seems as though that the evildoer walks off, and the one that had the injustice done to them goes without any thought or reward at all. You see, we don't live in a God-led country today. We are not in a Christian land anymore. We do not have Christian leaders anymore. And so we need to understand that what Peter is telling these folks is what we need to listen carefully on how we need to walk each and every day. It's sad that it's not true today. But if you'll look down through the time, it probably has never been true. Because man has their wants and has their will and has their way, and few follow after the will of God and the way of God. Scripture says here in verse 14, "Unto the governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well." And so we have the leader, we have the government in place, we have a person that's a leader to that, and there are laws made, and those laws are to protect the innocent and to serve justice to the guilty. God has ordained that. God has put that into place. Verse 15, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Doing the will of God. And the 16th verse says, "As servants of God." We are doing it, and we're doing it for the Lord's sake. And that's a principle I think that we need to understand. That's a principle we need to hear, a principle we need to learn, and that is that why do we try our best to get along with ungodly leaders? It's for the Lord's sake. That doesn't mean we agree with them. It does definitely, it means that we never go against the Word of God or the laws of God. But in Daniel's case, he was in a foreign land. God blessed him so he went all the way through Nebuchadnezzar's and on into Cyrus's reign. That's how long that his reign lasted. His service lasted. And God can use us. God can raise us up into an ungodly situation to be present and give a witness and testimony for him. And so you see, it's the will of God. We do it for his sake. So is the will of God that we, in well-doing, ye put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Nothing is resolved by shouting against them. Nothing is resolved by trying to get a group to raise up in some violent way. Now, to have a group gathered together for prayer, to have a group gathered together that goes and speaks to these officials, there's nothing wrong with that. We're not to be this mousy little thing that never speaks up for the will of God. But there are ways to do it. And it will bring a silence to those enemies of the Lord. It'll bring it to silence. Doesn't matter if it's a situation in the home. It doesn't matter if it's a situation at work. It doesn't matter if it's a situation with the government. It will bring to silence those enemies. And we need to see that we walk each day following as well as we can the government rules. When we have a position that's between the two, one is against the will of God, then we need to follow the will of God, but we need to do it in a calm way. Speaking, yes, but in a calm way. Not murmuring. You know, that's the first thing that starts. You know, we begin to murmur and to try to get people stirred up. And we need to see that we are the peacemakers. We're not those that cause the havoc, the damage. And so that's kind of contrary to what we we usually do. We look at this silence, the enemies by doing good and not by creating this havoc or not by murmuring. This silence is to muzzle. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And so you see, when we follow our God, when we listen to Him, and we carry His wisdom and we carry His knowledge as we go each day, you're going to find that even though we live in an ungodly world, it deals with the servants here in a minute and the boss, and you know, you've got the worst boss you ever had, I'm sure, and that's what we seem to think anyway. But we need to see that we understand that the government's put into place for the glory of God, for His use. We need to pray for our leaders and we need to lift them up. We need to have such a testimony that it is becoming unto the Lord and the Lord can be praised. You know, we've talked in Scripture here that we're a peculiar people. And that word peculiar is a possessed people. Now, it's, we think of someone possessed, you're possessed with demons. But we are actually the possession of one. Our God owns us. And He is making us a different people than this world. And that means we need to act different. We need to walk different. We need to look different. We can't look like the world looks. We can't act like the world acts. We're peculiar people as the world looks in. We're a different people. It takes a lot of prayer. It takes time. It takes God's wisdom for us to make that step and to be different. We don't curse as the world curses, even though we're around it all the time. We don't tell the dirty stories that the world tells, even though from time to time we're walking by. We need to keep right on walking. Now, do we raise this big effort to put it to a stop right now? You'll find that your quiet presence will change their lives faster than anybody else. Now, is that easy? Is that simple? We have got something to say, and I'm going to say it many times. If we are able to keep quiet, the Lord's glorified. When we speak, trying to defend ourselves or make some point, many times the Lord is not glorified. Best way to put this filthy world to silence is for us many times to be silent. The 16th verse tells us here, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, as free. We have a testimony. We have been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been set free from our sin. We are no longer under the bondage of the law. But don't take that freedom and abuse it or misuse it, that it will take honor away from our God. Peter is dealing with this. Peter saw something that the people here were doing that he knew was not pleasing unto the Lord. Some were ignoring completely the government rule. Some want to stay underneath the rule of the Jews and follow them. So many things take place when a person receives this freedom that their sin is gone. They have been set free from this bondage. But as a child needs to be taught, so did these people, and so do we need to be taught the Word of God. That we know what is pleasing unto God. Because you see, everything that is of God is contrary to man. Man says fight back. Man says argue back. Man says murmur. Man says get even. But God's Word doesn't say that. God's Word says you do what is pleasing to me. You do what gives a testimony of me. That's what our God wants. And most of the time it's contrary to what we want to do. One thing that's hard for all to do is honor all men, according to the 17th verse. To honor all men. Now this is to hold them to a place of proper respect. Now that doesn't mean that we honor what they do. There are some very, very ungodly people in this world, getting more and more ungodly every day. And yet for us to honor all men. A definition of that could be to give to all to whom it is due. To give to all to whom it is due. Those that are Christian, those that honor you, we hold them in a higher level, of course. But my friend, every individual needs the saving power of Jesus Christ. And if we walk with the Lord Jesus, and if we tell these lost how Jesus saves, to honor man is a level of respect, knowing God created that individual. And just because they're ungodly, and just because they go from the will of God so far, it doesn't mean we should not pray for them and lift them up. Doesn't mean that we associate with them and run around with them. But we need to hold them up that our Savior can save them. We need to lift them up in that manner. We hate the sin. We hate the way they act. But as Jesus loved the sinner, He loved that soul, and He wants that soul to accept Him and come by faith to Him. And we need to respect and have that level to look to people. Honor all men. Proverbs 17:5, if you'd turn there with me, please. Proverbs 17, verse 5. Whosoever mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that did claim of calamities shall not be unpunished. You know, we look at people and they don't have anything, and, you know, I've been through that with family. I've got a grandfather that if anyone did anything to him, he held that family responsible till the day he died. I don't care if it was grandchildren. They were of no value. They were worthless because somebody had done something to him a generation or two before. You know, we look at the word calamity there, you know, and when somebody's really having a difficult time, and we say, well, the way they've been living, that's what they deserve. We still need to look to our Lord in strength and in power to lift them up, that Jesus would save their soul. That's what we need to do. The normal thing is to condemn and criticize and join the rest. The next we look at here in this 17th verse, and we'll finish with this 17th verse here. It says, honor all men, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. Now, here is a situation where it should be the most easy to do. The brotherhood is those that have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Saved. Should be so simple. And honor is to a level of respect, a level of caring, helping. But here, to love is just that. The Lord Jesus Christ, by Him dying on the cross of Calvary and by sending the Comforter, we all possess the same Spirit. Shouldn't we all care and respect and love each other and lift each other up? Shouldn't we all desire to do all we can do to help each other? Shouldn't we all be present when there's a problem or heartache? Shouldn't we all have the concern? Shouldn't we all be lifting each other up, praying for each other, caring for each other, speaking kindly to each other? Love the brotherhood. Turn just a few pages to 1 John chapter 2, the 10th verse. 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion for stumbling in him. The verses ahead and below that, verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother and abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. We have a light, and that light allows us, that light abides in us, that light shows us that, yes, you're a believer in Jesus Christ. But if that love isn't present, if that caring isn't present, we need to check our hearts, see whether we know Jesus as our Savior. It continues here. Love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the King. It says, fear God. We should be a God-fearing people. Why should we do these things? Why should we treat the government properly and the leaders of our government? Why should we care for these lost people that have criticized us and condemned us and have no desire to help us whatsoever and misuse us physically and abuse us in word? Why would we want to lift them up in any way? Because our God calls us to. Why should we love the brethren? Because God first loved us. We've come together as a family. We need to act like God's desires a family to act, not like most worldly families act. These actions, this response that we should have, should come because we fear God. God has the power to do anything that he wants to do. Now, we know his nature. We know the way, his character. But God is the creator of this world. Jesus is the savior of this world. Jesus is going to be the judge of this world. And yet we come and go in service to him as if he doesn't care. Why do you show up for work on time? Why do you show up for work on time? Doesn't matter if you do or don't. Yes, it does. You fear your employer. You fear the consequences. You fear what's going to happen if you would not show up for work on time. And yet we give no thought to service and to time and to be doing the will of God. We don't fear him. He says, well, he's a God of love. Yes, he is. But he commands us and he demands us to fear him. To fear him. When you fear someone, you're afraid. You think, oh, Larry, now that can't be right. Well, my friend, we should desire to serve him and to praise him and to honor him and to do his will because we know who he is. He is omnipotent. Do we know who? Do we want to follow his will? We should want to serve him and praise him because we love him. But we also should serve him and praise him because we're fearful of the result if we don't. Fear. We've looked at the government. We've looked at those in control of the government. We've looked at man. We've looked at the freedom that we have gotten and the liberty we have. We need to see that liberty doesn't take us down the road that would lead someone away from God, but leads them to God. This being respectful to men also earns a respect that God will receive. The love of the brothers, a given. How much would God love that? You know, how much does the devil love when he gets the church fighting? That's what he loves to see. He loves to see us divided. We need to love each other. We need to fear God. And at the end is to honor the King. It's the highest of all men. To hold him in honor. We're going to begin with the 18th verse next week. Servants, be subject to your masters. And I'm going to give you a preview here just a little bit. The last word says, even to those that are forward or obstinate or unreasonable or stubborn. So start your week in that manner. We're to learn to honor God. And it is definitely not something that comes natural. You know, do we act the way we act because that's the way our parents acted? Do we act the way we act because of certain situations or circumstances that we have to live with? God has given us victory and power to remove all those stumbling blocks and move on to the place of praising and honoring God. What a glorious time we live in. that God gives us victory. Be aware, my friend, that this is a ongoing work. Starts the day you get saved, and it'll still be going on the day you meet Him face to face. But each day, let's grow a little closer to Him. Let's serve Him. Let's honor Him. Let's praise Him. Let's close with prayer. Father, it's a beautiful day that You've given us. It's a wonderful day that we can come and see Your Word and see Your will. And Lord, it should convict our hearts of those things that we lack in. And it should excite our hearts at the same time to see that You give us the strength and the power to have victory over them. Maybe that victory comes today. Maybe that victory will come in a month. But it can come. Our ways can change. Our attitudes can change. Our service to You can change. Our praising You can change. Our disappointment in the government and speaking about it can change. The always speaking evil of our boss and saying how bad he is and all the things that he does, and I can't respect him. Dear Father, give us strength that all the words we say and the things we do that will bring honor to You. And bringing honor to You will bring souls to You. And please speak to hearts now. Those that are lost, please come. Those that are saved, please come. Just listen to that sweet Spirit as He speaks this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.